In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
All right, good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Herndon and Sierra on this chilly morning. Yeah, Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, they do a weather report, so might as well report that it is 43 degrees out there currently. It's going to be a high of 59 degrees at 3 o'clock. Hopefully that sunshine is going to break through and break some of this cold. Yeah, the mornings have been very cold. I leave my house at 7:15 every morning, and I go out there and get the hose because I have two other daughters that go places in the morning as well as my wife. So I'm out there hosing down the windshields of all of our cars, breaking the ice and getting the cars warmed up and all that good stuff. But, yeah, thank you guys for listening to Central Valley Sports Report and your support of local sports for the next 2 hours all the way up till 12 o'clock. We'll be talking about high school sports, a little bit about Fresno State football as well. I want to thank First String Sports again. They are awesome. They've been my day one sponsors. I've done every one of my shows here. This is my fourth year broadcasting. All of my shows are here in the Letterman's Jacket Room, which is off to the right-hand side when you walk into the store. It's just lit up with a neon sign that says Letterman's Jackets. I'm looking at jackets from Edison High School. There's Hoover. Hoover's going to be in the house today. Bullard, Central, Kalinga, Selma, Kerman to my left, Madera, Sanger, Sanger West, behind me, Clovis North, Clovis High, Kingsburg, Clovis West, all the local high schools. Only place you can get your Letterman's Jacket is here. They'll help customize it. They'll put on the patches for you and all that good stuff. But I think Letterman's Jacket, too, over the last couple years, I think of Josh Allen. Everybody knows Josh Allen's story from Fireball, where there's this fun picture that pops up every once in a while. Sometimes I've seen on a national broadcast because they talk about how Josh had zero stars coming out of high school, no D1 offers, and he's risen to, I hope he's the MVP, right, this year. Bills are playing tomorrow, but I hope. I know a lot of talk now, a lot of momentum with Lamar Jackson, but I hope Josh gets the MVP. Here's a picture of Josh in his Letterman's Jacket room. I'm sure he bought it here from Letterman's Jacket, I should say, with all of its patches. I'm sure he bought it here at First String Sports. So, again, thanks to First String Sports. We got a great show for you guys today. I love to bring in guests. You know, I'll do an opener. I'll give you guys some scores and some cool info. I got a lot of info today. A lot of stat stars, some scores to report from last night. A lot of milestones, especially in basketball. I mean, after all, right, my show is called the Central Valley Sports Report. You guys like the info, but I'm sure you guys love hearing from coaches and from players and other media members as well. We got John Jones coming on the show, probably around 10:20-ish, maybe 10:22 or so. His name goes a long way in basketball in the Central Valley. He was a longtime coach at Clovis High. He was a head coach there. And then found himself at Clovis North. He's been an assistant there for a while under Tony Adamson. His son Nico was a really good player, was a point guard for the Broncos, and has a son right now who's one of the best shooters, not only in Central Section, but in the state. His son, Lucas, can absolutely light it up. He's a senior this year. He's going to be playing college basketball. So John's a great guy. Love running into him, different games and whatnot. And played at Fresno Pacific, so I knew him during the early 90s. So this is his first time on the show. He's been around basketball for a long time. I'm sure he's got a lot of stories. You know, he goes out to all the big showcase. What do they call it there? In Arizona. God, I gotta remember what they call that. It's like 13 courts. It's a big college viewing session. So Section 7, I think that's what they call it. There it is. All right, so looking forward to talk to John Jones. At the top of hour number two, friend of the show, you guys know him well, Gabe Camarillo, KMPH Fox 26. We're going to be talking about high school basketball. I saw him last night at the Clovis East and Clovis North basketball game. Then he ran over to San Joaquin Memorial for their game against Edison. There's a kid for San Joaquin Memorial that scored 2,000 points last night. So huge, huge accomplishment for him. Gabe was able to catch that on video. Yeah, always loved when Gabe comes on the show. We're going to be talking Fresno State football as well. A lot of commitments this week, guys. For those that aren't on social media, a lot of commitments to the Fresno State football program. Okay, a couple running backs, a quarterback, E.J. Warner. Does that last name sound familiar? Kurt Warner's son is coming to Fresno State. He's coming from Rice. I think he's going to be a grad transfer. So what does that say, right? What does that say about Jaden Mandel and Joshua Wood, right? You're bringing in Kurt Warner's son probably to play quarterback from the beginning of the football game. I don't know. There's going to be a competition. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that was announced, I think, last night. Talk about that with Gabe. The bottom of hour, number two, Dazale Archie, head boys basketball coach at Hoover. He's been on the show every year. Love when he comes on. His team defeated Fresno High last night, 48-45 in a tight one. They're now 9-6 on the season. And I don't know if a lot of people know this, but Hoover is now in the CMAC for basketball. They're in the upper tier. They're playing against San Joaquin Memorial. They're playing against Bullard and Sunnyside in that upper tier. It's a little bit different. So we're going to talk about their season. You know, he was a standout at Hoover himself, played at Pepperdine. He's always got a great story. Played against Steve Nash. One of his clips actually just popped up on my Twitter feed. So always great when Tazelle comes in and talks hoops. Before we hit the break here, you guys see that Derek Carr is committed to live in Fresno? Now, some people are like, well, does that mean he's retiring from the NFL? No, but he's going to make his forever home in Fresno. He said his kids were saying, Dad, we've moved around a little bit. Where are we going to grow up? Well, Derek mentioned, well, we're growing up in Fresno. Does that mean Clovis? Does that mean on the outskirts? Not sure. Not sure. It really doesn't matter. But Derek's moving back to Fresno. That's awesome. It's awesome for the community. We know David has as well. We see him in the media. What's Derek going to do post-NFL? Is he going to coach? Is he going to get into broadcasting? Right? So I thought that was really neat. That's just how much the Fresno community means to the Carr family. Also, one more thing. Josh Hokett. What's Josh been doing since his time at Fresno State? The dude is a UFC fighter. He won last night. If you're on Twitter, just go in the search engine and put in Josh Hokett. I mean, he was pounding on a dude last night. That guy, he wanted to be a UFC fighter since he was in high school. I remember Coach Rich Hammond tells a story. He asked Josh, well, what do you want to do? You know, after high school, he's like, I want to be a cage fighter. Well, here he is. He's living the dream. He's got that big old lion tattoo on his chest. He looks like a dude. So, yeah, that's what Josh is up to after being on the Niners practice squad for a couple years. A couple basketball scores here before we hit the break and hit some really cool stat stars and milestones here in basketball. I was able to go to, like I said, the Clovis East and Clovis North game. Clovis North looking really, really strong. Beat East 72-60. They were up 20-10 in the first quarter. Never looked back. Eli Gish. If you haven't seen Eli Gish play basketball, or Clovis North for that matter, Gish is a stud. 6'6", long arms, left-handed, threw down this alley-oop dunk that just electrified the gym, had 20 points, had 4 blocks. Lucas Jones, John Jones' son, we're going to be hearing from in a little bit, scored 17. McKay Madsen, I think, had McKay Admonson had 15 points and threw that alley-oop. So Clovis North looking really strong, and so is St. Joseph. Number one team in the Central Section, ranked number 4 in the state by Cal High Sports, defeated San Luis Obispo last night. We're going to see these scores the rest of the year from them, 99-62. They came to Clovis West on Wednesday and beat Clovis West 96-67. Yeah, you don't think they're motivated to win the D1 championship this year? They got to get through. Yeah, they do. They got to get through Clovis North. They're defending champions. They beat them last year, but that St. Joe's team looks like they are on a mission. Clovis girls, talk a little girls basketball. They're 19th in the state by Cal High Sports. They're 16-3. Defeated Buchanan last night, 66-38. However, the clear number one team, You guys know where this is going. It's Clovis West girls. They are 19-0 on the season. They won three tournaments. They traveled over 7,500 miles, three out-of-state tournaments, won them all. They're ranked number 9 in the nation, according to one website. Number 9 in the nation, number 6 in the state by Cal High Sports. Last night they beat Central, who was number 3 on Max Preps. They beat them 61-22. In the game, check this out. I had to confirm this with Coach Campbell. They held the Grizzlies to 2 points in the entire second half. The entire second half, they allowed 2 points. Pressure defense, right? Trap, steal, rebounding, all that. Incredible run. How far is Clovis West going to go? Well, they're trying for their, 12th? 12th state central section title. If they're put in the NorCal, if they win the section, they're put in the NorCal division. They got a really, really good shot to go to the state championship this year. All right, we're going to take a break here. I got some more stat stars. I'm going to bring on John Jones. You're listening to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Thank you guys for tuning in and supporting local sports, supporting high school athletes especially. I'm a big stat guy, too. If you guys are familiar with my interviews, I want to get to know people. I want you guys to get to know the coaches and players as well and hear their stories. But I love stats. And I was into baseball cards when I was a young lad, right? Most guys were in the late 1980s, go back, buy a pack of baseball cards. And that's how I learned, right, who the record holders were, right? Babe Ruth, right? 714 home runs. Hank Aaron, 755. Backs of baseball cards, right? Memorize the stats. I've always been a stat guy. We got some stats to share with you guys. Some milestones were hit. One last night. And I want to thank Central Section historian Bob Barnett for this info and our friends at Cal High Sports. Bob Barnett he's a historian, man. That guy has kept records from the early 1900s, not kidding, right? He's got the first track meets, the first state track meets. He's got them written in pencil, in binders. I mean, the guy does a remarkable job. He'll show up to games. He's tracking points. He'll come with his binder and a pencil, and he'll mark down how many points certain kids score. This guy is meticulous. So thanks to Bob. He's been on the show before. I'd love to get him back on. But he keeps stats, and one stat that's a big one, right? 2,000-point barrier mark is huge, right? 1,000 points means you've had a pretty darn good career in high school, right? You've scored a lot of points, but 2,000, right? That's something. So in San Joaquin Memorial's 95-45 home win last night over Edison, Julius Olarimwaju became the 29th player in Central Section history to score 2,000 points. So only 29 now can say they've scored 2,000 points in the section. He's the 6th from San Joaquin Memorial. Jalen Green, these names sound familiar. Quincy Pondexter, Roscoe Pondexter, Clifton Pondexter, and Joseph Hunter. A couple names missing from that list. Brooke and Robin Lopez, they never hit that mark. They never hit the 2,000-point mark. And I was surprised to see that. But congrats to Julius. He is a scoring machine. Played his first year at Coalinga, transfers to San Joaquin Memorial, won a state championship, right? Averaged like 30-something, maybe 32 points as a freshman in Coalinga. So transferring to Memorial, there's a little bit of pressure, right? Us here in the Clovis and Fresno area, like, okay, what can this kid do at San Joaquin Memorial against better competition? Well, it took him a while. He'll admit that. He was on the show before he admitted that, but he bought in. He's doing all the little things. When they need points, he'll get a bucket. When they need a rebound, he'll grab a rebound. He's become a better passer. So congrats to Julius for reaching the 2,000-point barrier in his high school career. So I mentioned St. Joseph and how they're the number one team in the Central Section. They got a senior, too. Tuna Yesufu, head of the Baylor. He's, on the radar for Mr. Basketball for the state of California. He reached a 3,000-point club, scored 27 points. in a win over West Ridge of Florida on December 27th. Then they went to they came to the Valley play Clovis West. I mentioned that game, scored 30 points in that one. He's probably going to break the Cal High State scoring record. All right, the scoring record in the state of California is 3,462 points by DeMarcus Nelson of Sheldon in Sacramento. The current CIF record is 3,334 points, just set last year by Logan Kilbert. That's number four in the all-time list. But there's another dude, and if you follow high school basketball, Jason Crow Jr., he's playing at Inglewood. That dude's going to probably shatter the record. He's got over 2,000 points, and he's only a junior, right? He's probably going to get 4,000 points. So anyway, Tunde is probably going to break the Central Section record for points, and at least in the boys' section. All right, a couple milestones here. James Miller of Roosevelt, he passed the 1,000-point club. I think he's only a junior, so congrats to him. He did that on November 30th when Roosevelt defeated Clovis 70-66. And another Roosevelt kid, Nylee Gregory. She is one of the top freshmen in NorCal last season. She had 31 points, 10 rebounds when they lost to Liberty of Bakersfield 51-50. She scored 35 points, got 9 rebounds in a win against Sac High, averaging 22.4 points per game. So congrats to her on having a great season so far. Clovis North in the house. John Jones is here. We're going to – a couple more fun facts. I'm going to bring on John. Tony Admonson got his 400th career win on December 14th when they beat San Ramon Valley 53-46 in a tournament. He's the 10th boys coach in section history to reach that plateau. I don't even – John, I'm looking at John right now. Does Tony even know that he reached that milestone, 400 wins?
Yeah, we knew it.
You knew it?
Yeah, he said he'd been keeping track for the last couple of years and Max Preps when he got like the 300. So
he is well aware of it, so that is awesome. So congrats to Tony on reaching the 400. He's been coaching for a long time. We're going to get into that a little bit. And then Anna Almeida from Carruthers, she also got her 400th coaching win on January 3rd. When the Blue Raiders beat Rosemary Academy 64-46. Always love when I see a palindrome score in basketball. And last thing before we hit the break, McKay Mattson from Clovis North. He's playing right now in the Army All-American game. The game is on KC24. He's going to announce his college choice sometime during the game. Could have been announced already. I hope to break that here on the radio before 12 o'clock. But it's between BYU, Oregon, and UCLA. My money was on Oregon. However, I don't know. BYU might sweep in and get him at the last moment. But Oregon, right? Well, unfortunately, they fell in the football playoffs. But I don't know. I still think he's going to go to Oregon. Also, last night, this popped up on Twitter. They had a big banquet before the game. He was named. How about this? How awesome is this? He was named the Navy Man of the Year at that ceremony last night. Out of all the kids, there was 100 top football players in the nation playing the game that's going on right now. He was named the man of the year out of all of them. He's an incredible dude. Hopefully he'll get some nice run in this game. And hopefully also we'll break where he's going to college. Good stuff. All right. Hope you guys enjoy that. We love bringing to light the great accomplishments from our students in the Central Section. We got John Jones here in the house. We're going to be talking some Clovis North basketball, his coaching career, coaching his sons as well, and his time at Fresno Pacific. Lots of good stuff happening on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. Thank you guys for listening. Here with John Jones. I've known John for a while. Assistant basketball coach at Clovis North. How many years, John, were you the head coach at Clovis High?
I was there for 18 years. I was the head coach for 15.
Okay.
I took over for Brandon Bakke, who moved on to Washington to be closer to his family. And the opportunity opened up for me. At first, you know, I was the JV coach, and I was just hustling and being a young coach, single, and and, you know, before kids and just getting after it as a coach, trying to make a name for myself. So I put my name in the hat at Clovis High, but, it, you know, it's Clovis Unified, and they're not going to hire a JV coach no matter, you know, what they thought of me during that time. And fortunately for me, I had some guys in my corner when they didn't want to hire me at first. Guys like James Patrick, Tim Simons, Greg Flannery, Peter Tragett, all the good old boys at Clovis High who kind of moved on now. They had my back and they fought for me and said, hey guys, nobody else wants this job. And I kept fighting because I really believed in the kids at Clovis High during that time. We had a good little JV group that I was coaching. And John Black and Mike Marcial was coming up, and Paul Sargent transferred over from Fresno Christian. So I thought, you know what, in a couple of years, if I could get this job, I think we could be really good. And but it was just a matter of convincing the administration to believe in that as well. So put my name in the hat, kept pushing for the job. Fortunately, nobody wanted it. And they had a couple guys. I think a guy from Missouri, this is what, 25, 26 years ago or so. So I think a guy from Missouri actually took the job for 2 or 3 days. Never came in. He accepted the job, but he at the end of the day, declined it. And then I was the last man standing.
Oh, my gosh.
And I think we're, like, right before school started. That's I think Coach Patrick and Simon said, hey, let's go. Let's go with Jones. And I got my opportunity. And, you know, that first year was tough, though. We were really young. We had one senior, and that senior, he ended up breaking his foot in warm-ups.
Oh, gosh.
So we were extremely young. I asked Mike Marcial. He was a freshman that year. Hey, Mike, you guys that know Central Valley basketball know how special Mike Marcial was as a point guard back in that time. But I asked him, do you want to play up on varsity? He didn't want to play. He wanted to have success on the JV team with a few of his friends and you know, learn how to win and run a team. So we rolled with our sophomores, with John Black and Mike Winchell and Paul Sargent and a few other kids. We got our butts kicked, but it was fun. We learned, and then the next year we made a big difference. So we didn't win a league game that first year, Paul. I don't know if you know that. We were 0-10.
So this is like, what, 99?
Yeah, this would have been that first year would have been Chris Hernandez, Tyrone Jackson, okay, senior year. So that would have been, I think, 2000, graduating class at 2001. And then the 2002 group came. And then we worked so hard over the summer, lifting weights. I mean, just conditioning and being in the gym for 4 or 5 hours a day. And just grinding every day. And the kids loved it. It was just skill after skill and ball handling and shooting. And that team, I just said, listen, we're going to be good at something. And we're going to be good at dribbling, passing, and shooting. And we're going to shoot a ton of threes. And we're just going to open up the court and just go. So we went 0-10 that first year. And then that second year, we put a game plan together. We spread the court out. We pressed defensively just all over the court. And we were a phenomenal three-point shooting team. That team ended up breaking the Central Section record for threes. We caught everyone's attention the first week. You guys that know Central Valley basketball during that time, the BCW tournament in the early 2000s, they were bringing out the big horses.
Tyson Chandler came to town.
Dominguez, Compton, Crenshaw. So we ended up playing Crenshaw first round in the back gym at Clovis West, and that's Willie West's team. You guys that know Crenshaw, I think they're 7-time Division I state champions. And I mean, infamous.
That was the name, right?
Yeah,
Crenshaw. When you
Crenshaw in the 80s, and 90s, mm-hmm. they were the dudes, right? That was when LA City basketball had it going on, and so Crenshaw comes up and we put it on them for a while. And the score ended up being 106 to 100. We made 17 threes. And that's when I knew we kind of could have something special. And I knew we were going to be pretty good, but I just didn't know because we hadn't won a game the year before in league, and we had everyone back. And now Mike Marcial was a sophomore in varsity running our team, and we had John and Paul. It was such a good guard, so if you pressed us, you were in trouble. And then we had Jason LaFleur and Scott Radcliffe on the wing shooting. We had David Lang inside, and he had a great motor, and he could block shots. And we had so many other guys who could do things. And so we hit 17 threes that night. We beat Crenshaw, and it was like, wow.
Gosh.
And then I think we lost our mind the rest of the tournament. I think we lost our next two. But we got a few of our football guys out. Blake Vandergeest, they were in the section championship game, so they were missing a few guys. We were missing a few guys, Danny Munster and a few others. But then we hit the HIT tournament, and that's when we really started hitting our stride. And we ran through the HIT, ran through the Clovis Elks. We beat a really good Carson team. That season or preseason, we beat like four or five top 15 teams in the state of California. Wow. And that's what put kind of Clovis High basketball kind of a little bit on the map under my name, was that team.
Because when you think Clovis High back in those days, you're probably thinking wrestling and football.
Wrestling and
football. Baseball with Coach Patrick.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, geez, that was the time when James Patrick was winning national championships and our football team was ridiculous. Tim Simons had just kind of moved on. I think he went on to Fresno City or Fresno State. Larry Kellum took over the program. And then our basketball team, we just had a group of guys who we had started our AAU program. And now those guys had like 3 or 4 or 5 years in the system. And we were starting to learn how to play. We implemented a lot of Coach Wahlberg's, you know, systematic ways of doing things. And with our pressure and spacing and at that time we didn't even open up double driving gaps and stuff like that. We just kind of spread attack and kicked, but we just really could shoot the ball. So we just kind of found our way. And like I said, we beat multiple top 10, top 15 teams in the state. And then we had our war against Clovis West.
Yeah.
That was really at that time, all of our hard work. Everyone was trying to beat Vance at that time, and he had kind of a stranglehold on the Valley during those, you know, mid '90s, all the way probably to about 2004, 2005, so we were all our kids wanted it really bad, and we walked into that gym at Clovis West, and Scott Dilley was the activities director, and they had the lights turned off, and they had this fog machine. They did things that they had never done before at Clovis West, and I knew we had them that night because they looked at us and knew Clovis High was the biggest game of the year. And so we end up, you know, Vance was known for his full court pressure and all. They couldn't press us that night, and it was just a beautiful thing, and our kids did a good job. And
you guys got it.
Got Clovis West. Now I got to give Coach Wahlberg his props. He ended up getting us the next two times and beat us in the section championship. So, but that game during that time in my, you know, early coaching career, it kind of put Clovis High basketball on the map, and we ended up being co-track champs with Clovis West, and then lost to Clovis West in a great game.
Where was that game played at?
That was before Sullivan Arena, and so we ended up playing that game at Clovis West. We had a 12-point lead late in the third, and they just hit Tyson Parker. You know, he was a great Fresno City player, played at Fresno State. Tyson was a stud that night. I just remember him jab-stepping us at the end of quarters and hitting threes. They ran a good out-of-bounds play for, I think it was Joey Parker, and got a layup at the end of the game that kind of hurt us. But they ended up winning the game. But we learned a lot from it, and our program kept growing for a few more years, and we ended up winning 3 out of 5 conference track championships during that time, and had great battles, not only obviously with Clovis West, but with Tim over at he was at Hoover, and then went to
Clovis East.
To Clovis East, and then, you know, Tony at that time was at Central, and we're great battles. Those are my brothers, fun times, and so. And then all the other coaches, you know, that we battle against every night, you know, they do such a fantastic job, and and it's a lot of fun. And you know, obviously Tom Orlich took over
yep.
for Vance during that time, and we had some great battles. And Tom did a magnificent job, especially with that. I think it was it 2006 team that went to state? Well, maybe it was 2006. Yeah, they beat us in the section championship 2005. That was a second group of really good players. That was, I got to give props to that team, because that team really kind of came together in the middle of the season, and that was with like Paul Wolf and Zach Caruso, Devin Herrera. We had you know some good shooters on that team. Brian Miner was a junior, another young man who was a standout football basketball player. One of the best athletes I've ever had was Matt Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
He was a stud, and he was a sophomore on that year and on that team.
The Clovis West, was that the year they played De La Salle in the state championship?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then it's funny, both years Clovis West plays De La Salle for the state championships, those are all low-scoring games.
Yeah.
They're like 42.
They're so hard to score.
Yeah, it's hard. When you get to that level, Paul, it's just ridiculous. We face it now even at Clovis North, where when you're playing the big boys, they can handle the ball. They can handle your pressure. They can go inside, outside. They have shooters, ball handlers, and then they have a 6'10 guy, you know, around the middle. And it's just – they can control the game a lot of times. And, you know, so – sometimes as coaches we have to adapt to all that, and
you guys have all right. So you know, last year's game against St. Joseph, right? I still talk about that game, you know, as a fan, as a you know analyst, and it was just a master class in my opinion, how you and your coaching staff with Tony and Drew and everybody, like how you paid attention to so many details, right? But you executed the game plan to perfection, right? On paper, St. Joe's was probably 10 to 12 points better than you guys.
Yeah.
Right? I would think.
Talent-wise,
correct.
Yeah.
Yes. However, right? The system that you guys run and the attention to details, like they said, the shooting ability, the help defense, the underrated on-the-ball defense that you guys have at Clovis North, all those came into play, and even in your run to the state championship the year before as well, and even this year too, right? All those things, right, matter when you're playing against these guys that are 6'10",
6'8",
or jumping out of the gym, right?
Yep. You know, when you have a guy like Connor Amundson running your point guard, it's pretty nice. And then obviously a kid like Jordan Espinoza in that game, who could hold his ground against a Tunde. Yeah, he's not at Tunde's athletic ability level, but at least he could hold his ground and frustrate him and keep him out of the lane and do some amazing things. But the one thing people don't realize in the game of basketball is, you know, you could look at a team and you look at Clovis North and we come out for warm-ups and we look like a JV team. But to be honest with you, the secret's out on us.
Yeah.
Like, the other coaches and the other teams statewide.
Well, you've been to Damien. You've been in the state playoffs.
They look
right?
at us and go, guys, no, you're not fooling us anymore. You fooled us 6-7 years ago, but you're not fooling us anymore. I mean, Clovis West experienced a little bit of that. I remember them
you know,
over the years going to their games against like Modern Day.
Yeah.
And you got all these little guys doing warm-ups and goggles. And
Modern
Day's laughing at them. And Clovis West runs them out of the gym or whatever. So, but yeah, we've experienced a little bit of that on our side as well. But the word's out on Clovis North.
No secrets.
No secrets.
You guys know how to play basketball.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, you know, we go up against St. Joe's, and we're just as much as they're a matchup problem for us, we're a matchup problem for them too, because at the end of the day, this is about dribbling, passing, and shooting, and you know how. Can we implement our skills against their length and their talent? And, you know, fortunately for us, you know, our kids did, like you said, execute our game plan. And we went, drove the ball, we kicked, we found our shooters, we moved the ball at the right time. You know, a lot of it's chemistry and continuity and understanding each other and years of playing together and trusting not only your teammates but your coaches and the system that you're running. And we're blessed to coach great kids. And that buy into that. Nobody's above their role in our program. They're willing to sacrifice for the betterment of the team. We knew who our better, we know who our better players are each season, and but even all the players who maybe get those guys shots, they find a way to have success in their role in our program as well. So it's not just about the guys who score; it's just about the guys who play defense. You were at our game last night. I mean, look at what Nolan Bertrall did. I think he had 6 points, 7 steals.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And he just Josh Padilla up in the front of the press, and Armand Arisian, and Jahlil Montgomery. These are not guys. They score 6, 7, 8 points a game for us, which is extremely valuable. They might not get the offensive notoriety that, you know, Lucas, McKay, and Eli get, mm-hmm. obviously, but their value to the team is just, it's so.
And it's evident,
found.
Right?
Yeah,
it's clearly anybody that watches you guys play basketball, right? These guys come in and they're all kind of looking the same, right? 5'11", maybe 5'10", and they're not intimidated by anybody because you guys have played the best of the best. Like you said, the secret's not out, but nope, you guys have played a really difficult schedule, right? And so the game's not too big for anybody, whether it's, you know, your number 6 guy or maybe even your number 11 guy, right? Like, nobody is scared. They know their role. I want to ask you, John, about coaching your sons, right? So Nico came first, and now Lucas is already a senior, if you can believe that.
Goes
right?
fast.
Goes really fast. How has it been coaching your sons and watching your boys out there?
Well, it's been a truly a blessing. And, you know, going into this, you know, we were over, obviously Clovis High people up until I think Nico was when I came over to Clovis North. I think Nico was starting his 6th grade year. Nico was born, bred to be a Cougar, right? Like he was like looking forward to you know, playing on that court, and we just kind of grew him up in that gym. Lucas a little bit younger, but for Nico it was a little bit tougher. So he had to kind of go through that transition time. It took probably like a year or two because Clovis North was the enemy. And all of a sudden now we're coming over to Clovis North and work with one of my best friends, Tony. That part's obviously been great. But it took Nico a couple years to adjust. And then by the time he was a 8th grader, he was fine. And we adjusted to the Clovis North style and ways. And but no, it's been a blessing. You know, Nico, I could just remember playing one-on-one with him in front of the house, and I would be Steph Curry or Kobe Bryant, and he's, of course, LeBron James.
Yeah.
Anybody who knows Nico knows how much he loves LeBron. And I would have to call out the starting lineup for all the team, and he would come running out. And so I did spend a lot of time working with him in front of the house, and obviously, and then he's playing AU and then playing the higher level AU as he's gotten a little bit older and stuff. So, but he had, you know, Tony did an amazing job with him. Nico could be tough to coach at times, coaching your son. He could be hard-headed. As much of a baller as he is, you know, he's great speed with the ball and great instincts, and he had such an amazing feel, one of the best feels of anybody I've ever coached. But with that came a little different style of coaching you had to have.
Yeah.
And I think Tony, to be honest with you, was a better coach for Nico than I would have been. There's a lot of times I would have just kicked Nico out of the gym or said, you're done. I'm not coaching you anymore. Tony's much more patient with Nico than I would have been. And I appreciate Tony for that. I told him all the time. I go, you're the best coach for Tony. for Nico.
Yeah.
And then Lucas is just, he's cool, man. He's kind of got my demeanor a little bit more. And, you know, I've spent more time with Lucas as he's gotten a little bit older. He just kind of grew on his own. And, but Lucas is just, he's easy money.
He is. That shooting stroke and everything.
So,
he's so calm. Yeah. He knows he's in control of the basketball. I've rarely seen him, John, because I've watched him since he was a freshman, right? I've rarely seen him make a mistake on the court, physically and mentally, right? He's just so in control, even at a young age.
Well, you haven't been to enough games yet.
Okay, all right. My bad. Well, the ones that I've seen here, least from my opinion.
No, he really does do a good job of keeping his balance and staying under control, and he's got a calm mind out there, and so I appreciate that in him. Obviously his shooting is pretty much spot on, and we've been working on his ball handling and his ability to get to the rim, and So good things are happening with him. He's had a great career, and you know, he's played in a NorCal. He's won a NorCal championship, two conference championships, section championship. So he's both my boys, but especially even Lucas, he's got to play in some really big games and has had some amazing opportunities, you know, being at Clovis North and playing for Tony.
Scored 17 points in last night's win. John, we only got about five more minutes left.
Geez.
I have so much stuff that I want to get to. All right, so you went to Fresno Pacific College, and then you mentioned how you got the gig at Clovis High and now at Clovis North. What's been like one of a wild story, right, throughout your basketball career that jumps out to you? Maybe there's a goofy player you played against or a teammate that was pretty wild or something. You got a story you can share?
Oh, lots of crazy teammates. But like Hawaii Pacific. I tell my wife, Lucas has gotten a few phone calls from Hawaii Pacific, D2 school on Oahu. And so I had the pleasure of going to Hawaii both years, my junior year and senior year. And so we're at Hawaii Pacific and we're watching them play. We're scouting them out for the next night. And they have this guy, I can't remember his first name, but his last name was Strickland. And we called him Strick Ice, or that was his go-to name. And so he's in the game, and he's 6'7", 6'8", like 230 pounds of just muscle. And he's a Louisville transfer. So he's played the big boys, and now he's playing NAIA basketball at that time. And he's getting the ball, and he just drop steps, dunks. So he just puts on a show. So every time he dunks, his thing is, I'm going to run out of the gym and let everybody know that I just dunked. So he would run out of the gym and then come back in. And at that time, I don't know, you didn't get a technical foul or anything, but it was the most comical thing you've ever seen. And then when the coach got mad at him, the rest of the team would be playing. So they would play 4-on-5. The coach would pull him off to the side and rip his butt for probably 20, 30 seconds and then send him back on the court. It's like things you would never see nowadays in basketball.
So he dunk it and then like run out of the side doors and then come back through another door.
The only other person I ever saw do that was Todd Tompkins, the squirrel. He would get a concussion, but Todd would get a concussion, run out of the gym, and then come back in. Strick Ice would dunk, come out of the gym.
All right. Well, Todd was on the show last year. I got to get him on this year so he could tell me about that story. That's something new.
Todd's better at telling stories than me.
Oh, are you kidding me? That guy, he should have his own stand-up routine and his own show. That guy's phenomenal. All right. I've got a couple minutes here. So this year's team you mentioned, right, you know, the big three, right, Eli, McKay, and Lucas. What's the ceiling for this team? We talked a little bit about St. Joe's and obviously what you did with them last year, the state runs and all that stuff. Like, how far can this team go, John?
I think we could go pretty far. I think we could go all the way. I really believe we could be a section championship team and make a run at state. We don't really know how good we can be yet because of the level of competition we've played against. Iron sharpens iron, Paul. And at the end of the day, you know, you're going to take some lumps along the way. Throughout that, we've learned how to play together better. I think we're starting to learn how to take better shots and find each other. There's been some times throughout the preseason that our big three we'd burp up some shots.
Yeah.
And we just kind of play through it. And Tony's great. As long as they're playing hard on defense, we'll figure it out. And we tend to figure it out. But that gives us room for growth as we learn how to clean some of that up. And then our role players are getting a lot better.
They are.
And that's
there's no drop off.
And some of these teams, like we played Mountain House the other night, and they're literally sometimes just guarding two or three guys, face guarding Lucas or running a second guy at McKay or face guarding Eli, and they're doing all these weird things, and they don't realize our role players how good they are. And they can hit threes, and they dive to the rim and get layups. And so, you know, I think we're going to find out over the next month how good we're going to be. And I like our team. We're together. All the kids are coachable. And we could dribble, pass, and shoot.
And this group of guys have played a lot of basketball
games. I think
as
we learn to be tougher on the boards, that's going to pay huge dividends for us. And then the one player, Eli Gish, he's starting to become a rim protector for us. Yeah, you saw that a little bit last night. And, you know, guys are going through. He got called for a foul that was clean. Yeah. It happens, though. It's just understandable. But you know, Eli's 6'7". See, he's got room for growth. And the growth that he's made from his sophomore year to junior year,
I saw it last night. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I think everybody saw it on
that
alley-oop dunk.
Offer.
Yeah, he just got an offer.
Yeah.
That dunk was one of the best dunks that I've seen this year.
So we have some players that are going to continue to get better. Even our better players, there's a lot of room for McKay and Lucas and Jaleel Montgomery. I mean, watch what happens with him next year.
All right.
Yeah,
John,
he's gonna be good.
This was awesome, which we could talk longer. You're on your way to Little Hoopsters.
Little Hoopsters
started.
Yeah,
that's where it all begins for these little guys. Last night was one of the feeder nights, and it's just mass. All the time, whenever there's a feeder night in Clovis Unified, man, it's just mass confusion sometimes. You get these little guys in and out of the court. So last night was a little stampede or feeder night, whatever you guys call it. So
Bronco Mania.
There you go. All right. Got to get it right. Bronco Mania. All right, John, always good to see you. Great job as always. You're one of the class acts in the Central section. So have fun at Little Hoops. Have a great weekend,
my friend. Thank you, Paul.
You bet. All right. Coming back, we're going to take a break here. Gabe Camarillo is in the house. We're going to be talking about lots of cool stuff on the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. That's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue, in between Herndon and Sierra, in the Letterman's Jacket Room. Just had a really good conversation with John Jones. Man, I felt like I ran out of time. That guy, he tells a good story. Right, from his time at Clovis High. If you remember those early 2000s, kind of late 1990s, early 2000s basketball era in the Valley, right? Those some big-time stuff was going on. He mentioned that the big tournament where Compton Dominguez would come, you know, Buchanan was involved in this tournament, Clovis West was a combined deal. I mean, that was some big-time basketball. And I forgot that Clovis High beat Crenshaw 106 to 100. Imagine watching that game, right? You got all these shooters for Clovis High, right? Lighten it up. But John Jones, great guy, does an incredible job assisting Tony Amundson at Clovis North. If you guys miss any part of any show, you could go back to 1430ESPNFresno.com under podcast, Central Valley Sports Report. You can listen to all of them way back from show number one. All right. I love when Gabe Camarillo comes on the show. We're able to chop it up, man. We're like-minded. We love high school sports. We love sports in general.
Yep.
We love stats. We love getting to know, you know, coaches and players and all that good stuff that goes with sports in the Central section. He's sportscaster at Fox 26, KMPH. Gabe, you mentioned a little bit. I asked you off-air what you did over the Christmas break. I didn't know you went to New York City. Tell me about that.
About a month ago, and it was for a week, just getting to see the sights and sounds you watch on movies or television. And then we went to a sporting event. That was like a mandatory thing for me because I'm, as you said, a huge sports fan. I needed to see at least basketball in the Garden or hockey in New Jersey. If I really wanted it, I guess I could have gone to Long Island and watched the Islanders, but that was too far of a trip. I watched the Devils play the Maple Leafs.
All right.
Overtime game. It was pretty fun.
Okay, so walking around the streets and Times Square and all that craziness there, like what did you come away with? Like it's as advertised, it's too much, or what were your feelings?
I feel like 20 plus years in Fresno is made me used to Fresno. And I could deal with a week in New York City, but I think if I had to live there long term, at least right now with my current age and just I guess I'm an old person in a young man's body because I love slow things. I love not having to deal with traffic all the time. I love not having to bump into people all the time. I love being able to walk down the street and just have the whole sidewalk to myself sometimes.
You're like bumping shoulders and all that stuff.
In New York City, yes, I was.
Well, so it was like the movies and TV shows, right, pretty much as advertised, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so Fresno State. I want to talk Fresno State before we get into some high school stuff. Hire a new coach, obviously, Matt Enns. That was back on December 4th. You know, where have you met Coach Ans? What's the feeling about, you know, surrounding him and how he's acclimated himself to the Fresno area? So obviously that transition time, right? People love Tim Skipper. People are emotional about it. And you're like, right, you're kind of sizing up the new guy, right? Mm-hmm. Sizing up Matt Ans. Who is this guy? But once you get to know him, from everything I've heard, it's been a great transition already. He's going to be a great football coach at Fresno State. What are your impressions and thoughts?
Well, he said all the right things at his press conference last month. And what you really wanted to hear was, can Fresno State return to excellence after this last season? We talked about it before on your show. Just there was not anything terrible about this season, but there wasn't anything great about it either. It was a 6-6 year, and yet actually 6-7 after the double overtime loss to Northern Illinois in the bowl game. So you wanted something different, and Matt Ince is going to provide something a little bit more different with an experienced coaching staff, guys who have done their job for years, talking about offensive coordinator Josh Davis, who I hear he's a very, what's the word for it, complex offensive mind, just his view on things. I tweeted this out a couple of weeks ago, but the fact that he hails from the same school as Ryan Grubb did. Remember Ryan mm-hmm. Grubb? And I know he recently got let go from Seattle, but he was an amazing offensive coordinator, especially at the college level. I don't know if that has any stock in what Josh Davis can do, but Sioux Falls has presented a lot of good coaches for Fresno State. Kalen DeBoer, Ryan Grubb, Josh Davis now. And then the defensive coordinator, Nick Benedetto, was one of the top DCs in the country last year because Northern Illinois was one of the top defenses in the country. We saw that in the bowl game I just mentioned. Fresno State had 0 points in the second half because partly of what Benedetto did schematically. So I feel like they hired some pretty good coaches for the coaching staff. They kept the important ones. You need to keep J.D. Williams because of his connections to the Valley and his connection to the program. And not just that, but he's a very experienced individual with some good wisdom to pass on to young corners. I think he single-handedly kept Azillion Hamilton from leaving. Then he also brought back John Baxter. We know what he can do for a special teams unit. So another key addition, or I should say retention, that I think is going to pay dividends in 2025, and I'll leave you on this thought, Aaron Pryor and Bryson Donaldson have a great relationship together. So I think keeping Pryor is going a long way towards keeping Donaldson in a Fresno State uniform. I also hear there's some NIL deal coming on the way for Bryson Donaldson to make sure that he is comfortable as a Bulldog. But he's also a Valley guy, and so he wants to play in front of his family. And the reason that's important, Paul, is he might be, with Ashton Gentry leaving now, thank goodness, he might be the best running back in the conference this season.
We're huge Bryson Donaldson fans for many reasons, right? You know, the local kid, Central Valley Christian State champion. You know, what he did on the football field, averaged 6 yards a carry, right? And, you know, you listen to the broadcast or you watch the game, and he's a beast, right? He does a little bit of everything. He can outrun you. He puts his head down, gets the tough yards. However, a couple of transfers coming in, right? We'll talk about some. There's been a lot of movement in the last week or two as far as transfers, guys coming in, right? So a freshman, Julius Gillick, from Edison Huntington Beach. That might be a bad word in the Valley, that name, because he beat Edison in the state, or sorry, he beat Central in the state championship game this year. But Clovis West beat him in the first game of the year, talking about Edison Huntington Beach. And then there's an Arizona transfer. It looks like a different type of player than both of those two guys, talking about Donaldson and Gillick. What do you think about the running back situation? Like, I mean, Bryson's obviously the dude, and I liked what you said about making him comfortable at Fresno State. Give him a deal, man. Pay the man whatever you need to pay him. But, right, it's just a couple different dynamics for Coach Ants.
And I think Fresno State's had that as long as Tedford came back. Like, when he first entered in 2017, Tedford had Mims and Rivers. He had a bruising running back, and he had a speedster. And so with a couple years back, Malik Sherrod healthy, he almost rushed for 1,000 yards. He had him and he had Gilliam. And I know Gilliam entered the portal for a brief moment, so that probably enticed Ents to get a bruiser and a speedster with Sherrod also leaving. So he got the speedster and Rayshon Luke, who sat out most of last year because of an injury and redshirted. But similar to Sherrod, 2 years ago, he was a guy that was very productive at getting big plays, something that Fresno State desperately missed on the ground this past season. And then they got Gillick, who is more of a physical back. Now, Gilliam did withdraw from the portal, so you got Gilliam, Luke, and Donaldson. I see as the three ball carriers. Obviously, Donaldson probably getting the heaviest of the workloads, but Luke and Gilliam should be good complementary backs. And what Matt Entz did tell me after the press conference in a one-on-one interview is he wants to be the most physical football team in the country. So we might not throw the ball a lot this year. Yeah. You might see a lot of run plays on first and second downs, maybe setting up a third and short pass play. And there could be a new face throwing the football this year for Fresno State too.
So we just found out, was it two nights ago, a transfer, E.J. Warner.
Yeah.
That last name sounds familiar, everybody out there. That is Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner's son, transfer from Rice. You know, Josh Wood played pretty darn good in the bowl game. Jaden Mandel got a couple series as well. Those guys have different skill sets. What do you think about Warner coming in? Is he just – I mean, there's you know, Coach Entz is going to play his cards right and say, oh, it's a quarterback battle. Mm-hmm. It's competition is wide open, right? What's your thoughts on this situation now?
Well, just looking at the numbers, surface-level thoughts, 32 starts for Warner in his career. True, you know, he didn't play – at a winning program in either of his stops. He spent 2 years at Temple, was actually rookie of the year for the conference his first year. And then this past season, he transfers to Rice. Even then at Rice, he didn't win. He was 9-21 for a career record. But was that because of him or was that because of, you know, other factors? The fact that they were in the AAC and obviously the top of that conference is Tulane and Memphis. I'm not sure. I guess we're going to find out here when he's surrounded by, I believe, better players. You know, he's going to be handing the ball off to Donaldson and Rayshon Luke. He'll be throwing it to Josiah Freeman and other guys, and that could be another conversation we have. How do they replace Mac Delaney, Jalen Moss, Raylan Sharp? That's going to be the biggest loss yeah. for this offense. But that's another topic for a different day, a different Central Valley Sports Report. What we're talking about here, E.J. Warner, I feel like obviously his name is a new story. That's what was the biggest takeaway from this transfer portal get for Fresno State. You get Kurt Warner's son, you get Kurt Warner possibly out of Valley Children's Stadium, you get him potentially donating money to help his son's team. This is like a dream for Fresno State fans, right? At the very least, you get a competitor in the battle that can push Wood and Mandel. I think a three-way QB competition is the best way to go to get the best out of these athletes and to get the best quarterback on the field come August 23rd against Kansas. I don't know who's going to win, though, because Warner has the experience, but he didn't play super well career interception-wise. He has two more than Mikey Keene. And everyone didn't like Mikey Keene because of his turnovers. So you got to treat E.J. Warner the same, right?
Yeah, you do. Absolutely. A little fun fact, too, Gabe. So one of Kurt Warner's other sons, Cade Warner, who played wide receiver at Nebraska at the same time Adrian Martinez was at Nebraska. So there was a Adrian Martinez from Clovis West connection with the Warners as well. Another fun fact, I texted Adrian a couple days ago. His birthday was a few days ago. We're going to get him on the show in the next couple weeks. And so hear from him. He was on the New York Jets practice squad for the whole year. So always fun when Adrian's able to join us. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, I have Adrian tell some fun stories from his football days, especially playing for the Jets, because you got to have some stories playing for the Jets, don't you?
I think UFL MVP Adrian Martinez is a good way to introduce him.
Good. All right. A little bit about Fresno State basketball before we get into some high school basketball. All right. So Vance Wahlberg, they're playing today at 4 o'clock. They're playing Nevada, who's 0-4, which is pretty wild. A thought with Steve Alford as their coach. Still trust in Vance, right? In Vance, we trust still?
I feel like, obviously, right now would be the moment where Fresno State fans – want to abort, but you got to look at just all the context going in. And even Wahlberg said this very bluntly, which of course he does because that's just how he speaks his mind.
Yeah.
He's like, who was I supposed to get 3 weeks into the transfer portal officially being named head coach? Like, he's not going to get top tier talent to come to Fresno State is basically what he said. And it's like, well, you are right. You're not going to get the transfers like Nevada got. Nevada's going to have a great point guard from Cal Poly. Kobe Sanders, I think he's going to play a big role in today's game. If the Wolfpack win, it's because Kobe Sanders lights it up. But they weren't able to get guys like that. They were kind of forced to get guys that have caveats to them, like Zion Collins, very talented guard, but he killed somebody. And then you also have Amar Aguilar, National JUCO Player of the Year, but obviously there was attitude problem, and that's why it was a mutual agreement for the team and the player to part ways. There's just a bunch of guys. Morsek, for instance. Hawaii center, one of your few guys that has Division One NCAA experience, but he's injury prone and he hasn't really been 100%. So, you know, they have talented guys. It's just a matter of getting them on the court together. David Douglas Jr., that's a guy who should be a key contributor, but he's injured right now. Horizon League Freshman of the Year. So, you know, there's just – I feel like Collins, despite his past, he's put it behind him, and he's played at an exceptional level. They need more of him. They need some more of another guy, maybe an Elijah Price. I know he's a very athletic 6'9 combo forward, but can move like a guard. They just need someone besides Collins, and not just someone, but some buddies, some more people to really chip in the scoring load, because they're not going to defend people. They've been one of the worst defenses in the conference this year so far.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they had that 17-point lead in the first half against Utah State. Against Utah State.
Yeah.
I click on the game, and then the lead evaporates all of a sudden. You know, it's halftime's cut to a little bit, and then, you know, the second half is history. So, all right, patience is a virtue. We understand that. All right, high school basketball. You were able to, I didn't, check out St. Joe's in person when they came to play Clovis West. I mean, what's the book on St. Joe's? You saw them with your own eyeballs. They're better than last year, aren't they?
I feel like they are, because they have another guy that can – score 20 a night, any given night. And it's Malcolm Price, the younger brother of Julius Price. That makes, I believe, St. Joseph a three-headed monster with Julius, Malcolm, and Tunde Yesufu. And then he also chip in some of the centers that they didn't play on Wednesday for some reason. They didn't feel the need to play Abdul-Bahr or Gatsini Yatsa too much. Tunde was the tallest guy on the floor for much of Wednesday's win over Clovis West. And so, you know, if they were to face a Memorial or a Clovis North, maybe they roll out those centers. Maybe they don't want to because it slows them down. But they know how to play fast with another point guard essentially on the floor in Malcolm Price. They can have multiple guys handle the ball now.
So Clovis North, John Jones was just on the show. We know what they did last year to St. Joe's. Did you feel like St. Joe's had a little more edge to them, right? They're not playing teams in the central section, as far as I mean, teams in the valley, you know, sticking to the coast where they're going to be beating teams 96-42, right? You feel like they had a little more edge to them in this game?
I feel like they did because, I mean, last time they were in that gym, actually, I know last time they won, but they lost the previous time they were in that gym in that double overtime championship game, Tunde's freshman year. I just think anytime they face Clovis, they know that we talk about them, we compare St. Joseph versus the best in the track, and you know, we maybe homer a little bit. We may think, oh, you know, our guys are going to win. And last year, our guys did win. Clovis North played a perfect game against St. Joe's. I think it's going to take another exceptionally game planned and executed game to beat St. Joseph this year at Celent Arena. And I feel like they do play with a chip on their shoulder because Tunde played the entire game, and St. Joe's was up by 20 for much of it.
You were able to capture Julius Oliver-Waju's 2000th career point at San Joaquin Memorial. I guess career points, I should say. How cool was that, man? How cool was that to see? I saw, you know, you interviewed him. He seemed like, you know, he's really happy and smiling, and right. It was just a really cool moment for him.
It was, and it doesn't happen that often. I don't know how many high school basketball players have played ever, but 29 have done it, with Julius being the 29th, and 6 from San Joaquin Memorial, which makes sense, honestly. Like, you know how much history they have. You knew that JoJo Hunter did it because he was, I think, threatening the school record. Jalen Green, it's crazy how much he scored in 3 years. My dad was texting me that last night. I told him who from Memorial's done it. He thought Lopez twins.
They did it. They're not on the list.
Nope. The Pondexters did, all three of them, Cliff, Roscoe, and Quincy. But Jalen, I think, I don't think we'll see another athlete like him come through for a long time, Jalen Green. But Julius, the fact that he's in the same conversation as Green is pretty cool. And I know he started his career at Kalinga High School, made the decision to come to Fresno to get better competition, face off against league foes that are great, track teams that the Memorial Panthers always face. I hope that he's able to top this career off with the championship just because of the fact that he's a good kid who works hard. He's a talented individual. What really struck me the most, some kids, you tell them 18 points and you get a record, they just start chucking the ball up, just, you know, shoot around time.
Yeah.
He was passing it around. He was facilitating. If his shot wasn't the best shot, he was more than willing to set up Parker Spees, set up Sajin Sadu, set up Abram Potts. And that's another note I want to hit on before we move on from the Memorial Panthers. This is one of the deepest teams they've had, based off experience, based off of scoring ability. A couple years ago, it was JoJo Hunter or Mike Davis Jr., and if those guys weren't going, then the Memorial Panthers weren't scoring. This year, it's four or five guys who can lead the team any given night, and that's why I believe they have the best chance at beating a St. Joseph, because they match up the best size-wise and athletically, and they have, I think, a deeper arsenal than maybe a Clovis North. Last night I saw Clovis North, Elias Gish, McKay Mattson, Lucas Jones can lead a team any given night, but can they get that fourth or fifth guy? Can they get like a Nolan Birdshaw or a Josh Padilla like we saw in the championship game against St. Joseph? Those guys stepped up. They needed them to step up again to beat Memorial and St. Joseph in back-to-back games. I think that's what it's going to be this year, Paul. I think Memorial, St. Joseph, St. Joe's, North or Memorial are going to be the top three, and North and Memorial are going to be facing each other in the semi.
There is a very intriguing team that we're going to get to know a little bit more when track started. Well, track started last night, obviously, but Buchanan.
Yeah.
Right?
Are they the 14, Orlitz, you think?
I got to see them. I need to watch them. So they are, 17-2 right now?
Yeah.
They're going to be playing, let me make sure this is the order. Next week, I think they got Clovis West, Clovis North, and then Clovis East. I could be flip-flopping those. So those obviously are going to be very, very tough games. But Tom Orlich knows how to coach. Yeah. Everybody knows that, right? Connor Sheets is a guard that can light it up, but he's got a lot of really good guys playing around him. Do you think Buchanan is a threat in the track and maybe even in the playoffs? But
Or
do we
got
to see them more?
I feel like we have to see them more. And I know they beat Clovis West by 10 a couple weeks back at the Modesto Christian Tournament. That was, for me, the eye-popping win on their resume. Because everything before that, you could argue that North played a tougher non-league schedule, that West played a tougher non-league schedule.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
Buchanan beating West, I think, solidifies Buchanan as a contender. It's just they haven't played those teams close before. That was like the first time Buchanan's beat West in 8 years. So I don't know when's the last time they beat Clovis North, but I think this year, to be considered a track title contender, you have to beat Clovis North. They're the team to beat in that league. And I feel like everyone else is kind of playing for second. We saw that last night. You saw that last night. Clovis East came in with a good record, 13-5 or 13-4. And it was a double-digit lead for Clovis North for much of the night. A couple times it got down to 7 or 6 points, but Clovis North was never in danger in that game. I think Buchanan has to put Clovis North in danger before we start crowning them as potential track, legitimate track title contenders.
Okay, so Buchanan's two losses are to Cathedral Catholic on the 19th of December, 57-46, and they played Modesto Christian in the championship of their own tournament, which was a pretty good tournament, 65-54. I think they might have cut that lead to like 5-1 at one point, but Modesto Christian ended up with the victory. Buchanan beat Clovis High last night, 55-38. So I think I was right. So they got Central next week, and Clovis West, then Clovis North, then Clovis East. So, yeah, we'll be able to check out those games. So one little fact here, Gabe, before we move on. 5:30 games for the boys in the track this year, unless you're playing Central. So, yeah, so get used to that. Get out there early for the boys' games at 5:30 during track. All right. Clovis West girls.
Yeah.
How about that run? So they're 19-0. I mentioned it in my opener. They beat Central last night, 61-22. Central only scored 2 points in the second half. Pretty remarkable. Three tournaments they played out of state, three tournament championships, ranked number 9 in the nation according to one poll, over 7,500 miles. They got to go to an NFL game, which was cool, and a Denver Nuggets game. But anyway, Clovis West girls, are they going to do it? What does that even mean, do it? Like win another championship, go to the NorCal finals, and try to get into the state championship?
They are going to win their 13th straight Central Section title and their 20th straight league title. That's not a question. When you beat the top 10 teams from Arizona, Pennsylvania, and Florida, and you beat the top-ranked team in Nevada, I feel like you're probably going to win your league and section. Now it's a matter of can they win arguably the toughest state title to win in America? Because I think I read this in an article by a women's basketball writer. Clovis West could probably win the state championship in most other states in this country. But because it's California and you got to go against the private powers that are Archbishop Mitty and
Modern Day,
Sierra Canyon's been really good for a long time recently. I just think that's your competition for Clovis West. They're the best public school girls basketball team in California.
Yes.
But can they overcome all the resources and talent that the private schools have? I feel like it's a tall task now than it was 8 years ago when they actually did win it all. It's just, I think it's got more competitive, especially with transfers being more prevalent now than they were 8 years ago. It's not as easy for Clovis West to compete at that high level, but they did schedule themselves tough enough to be ready for it. I think that's what Coach Campbell did with this 16-day, three-state stretch. He wanted his team to not be phased when they go up against Mitty, not be phased when they go up against a SoCal team. And I think Campbell told me he thought maybe this team would go 14-4, 15-3 in this opening 18-game, 19-game stretch. They're 19-0, so they've already passed his expectations. And you look at the roster, and yeah, it makes sense. They got multiple different scorers. Alexis Willis matches up with a lot of the bigs that this team will face down the road. Maybe not in league play, but definitely in the state playoffs, she'll match up really well. And I mean that because Alexis is already taller than everybody
She's
in the area. She's 6'3". It's really going to come in handy when they're in the state playoffs and they go up against another 6'3 girl. But Riley Walls, Tegan Medeiros. Yeah. I really like what Ramey Chapman's doing. She's the next great one. As a sophomore, she's hitting game winners. So there's a lot I like about this team. They're very deep, and they're always going to play great defense. It's just a matter of will they be able to slow down the best teams in California. And we're talking about the best of the best. We're talking about the top two or three teams in the state. That's who Clovis West is going to have to beat, because those are the only teams that can beat Clovis West this year.
So just for reference, Cal High Sports, they came out with their rankings a few days ago. So Ontario Christian, number one from SoCal. Archbishop Mitty, unfortunately for Archbishop Mitty, they lost their best player for the season. She got injured earlier this week. They're number two. Etiwanda is number three. Modern Day is number four. And there's Sierra Canyon, who you mentioned, at number five. And then there's Clovis West. So, yeah, so they're thrown into the NorCal, yeah, which we fully expect. Hey, they got themselves a really good shot. Of course, they got to beat the Clovis Highs and, you know, St. Joseph's. Right, that was a pretty tough game for them last year. That St. Joseph game at Celent Arena, that game was a grind.
One of those players is at UCLA now for St. Joseph. So I think that might have been just a one-off. Like, that would have been the year for Clovis West to potentially lose because St. Joseph was well-coached and had a talented guard. But I don't think there's a team like that this year. There's some pretty good teams in the track, don't get me wrong, but I just don't know how anyone's going to stop Swillis. Like I said, she's so much taller than everybody else in the area. I feel like, and especially her being healthy and confident, and she's one of the happiest she's been. I talked to her earlier this week, and she's just fully bought in with what Coach Campbell is teaching the girls. I feel like Swillis could win track MVP. If there's a favorite to win girls basketball MVP, it's Swillis on the girls' side. And the boys' side, I mean, you got candidates. You got choose who you want. It'd be really early to pick.
I mean, yeah.
Stickman's played well.
Stickman's played incredible, right? Lucas Jones, Eli Gish for Clovis North. Those guys having good seasons.
Connor
so far.
Sheets, if Buchanan pulls off some upsets, Connor Sheets is the easy shoo-in for the Bears.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of picks.
There's a lot of picks. Lots of good
on the
stuff
boys side. Yep.
Happening in the central section. Gabe, you do an amazing job. Always love bringing you on the show, talking sports, Fresno State high school sports. What do you got going the rest of the day really quick?
I got a baby shower, so I'm actually going to go buy some baby shower gifts right now. And then after the baby shower.
Is there a registry? So you're just going to go off the registry, or do you know what you're shopping
for?
Well,
there's a diaper raffle, so I'll get some diapers and maybe win a prize or something. And then books. The person asks for books for their baby so they can read.
Okay, that's easy.
Good. And then maybe something. Like
4 o'clock? Oh, okay.
4 o'clock's the men's basketball game I'm going to go to.
Okay.
Fresno State, Nevada. I think Zion could have a big game. I think he is a guy you can count on. It's just, can someone else get going for the men's basketball team? Someone that can score 20 points. I wish Fresno State would get some stops today. That would be a huge, you know, gain of momentum if Fresno State can get some stops defensively down the stretch. And if they can win this game, shoot. Now we're talking about a different spin on this season for Fresno State men's basketball.
We need two good halves. How about that for Fresno State? All right,
good
Gabe.
Point.
Good stuff from you as always. We'll talk to you soon and have a good rest of your weekend. We got Tazelle Archie. We got a player as well from Hoover High coming up next on 1430 ESPN.
All right.
All right, welcome back.
Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Gabe Camarillo, he sure can break it down. Candy, just great segment. Talking Fresno State, talking local sports. Now we're bringing on one of my favorite guys to run into, right? Go to a Clovis West Nike Invitational. His team's playing there. Sit and eat some food, talk basketball. He's been on the show plenty of times. Zell Archie from Hoover High. And we got one of his players. Cesar our Juarez is coming on as well. Thank you guys for joining us last night. Beat Fresno High 48-45, 9-6 on the season, if I'm not mistaken. So, Coach T, what's going on, man? How you doing?
What's up, Paul? Always good to be here, man. Thanks for having us on. We're talking a little bit off air. Yeah, we're 9-6. Tough one last night. That cross conference game. You know, the CMAC 2. Fresno High, you know, we played them a couple weeks ago at the HIT. They weren't at full strength, and we knew that. We had saw some tape on them and heard of some of the players, and we knew going in it was going to be a different ball game. And they were on, I believe, a four-game winning streak. They won a tournament. They had wins of – they had a 50-point win against Parlier, a 30-point win against Washington Union, 20-point win – and then they won double digits against a team that we played not too long ago, Mission Oaks. So we knew it was going to be a dogfight. You know, our players definitely got a wake-up call and, you know, gutted it out. Tough first half. We're decimated by injuries, but it's always the next man up mentality. And they showed a lot of fight and grit in that second half to come back and get the win.
So you guys are down at halftime. You guys had to – come back. So who are Cesar, I mean, how'd that game go last night? Like, grinded out game. Were you guys down a half? Is that right? You guys were down a half and then you guys came back?
Yes.
How'd you guys do it?
I'd say we just came out of the second half with a different mentality. I say we weren't mentally ready, I'd say, from the start of the game, you know, as you can tell based off what coach was saying, we were down at half. You know, we just didn't come out ready, but we, you know, we went to halftime, you know, talked it out, fixed what had to be fixed, and we just came out with a different mentality.
What was there one key play, Coach, or maybe a key, you know, minute or two where the tide turned?
Well, absolutely. They played zone the entire game, and we matched them with a little bit of our matchup zone look as well. It just wasn't working. We weren't creating enough chaos, enough energy, so we didn't press a single possession in the first half. At halftime, we decided we were going to press and play man-to-man the entire game and the rest of the half. In the first possession, we got a turnover in our press in man, and we stayed in it the entire second half. So that was it. We just switched from, you know, our kind of our matchup zone to an all-out man from the press and you know, created some turnovers, some easy baskets, got our confidence going, the tempo increased. We scored. It was bad. Like, the score was 10-2 first quarter. We've never had a quarter like that.
You were down 10-2.
We were down 10-2 in the first quarter. At halftime, we scored 9 points total, and then we came out in the second half and scored 40. In the second half. So it was all hands on deck. You know, some spirited conversation at halftime.
Good way to say it. I was going to ask Cesar about that, but I don't know.
Yeah, no. So, but again, they responded. They responded. And that's the main thing with these guys. They are a coachable group. Mm. So the first thing we want to look at as coaches is what are we not doing? What can we do differently? Because they'll run through a brick wall for you, this group. They will. So we knew it was something that, you know, we had to push the right button. And as soon as we found it and we saw that man-to-man pressure worked, they just didn't let up. And watching film this morning, you know, you go through the good, the bad, and the ugly. We went through the first half, and it was a lot of wincing and, yeah, you know, seeing how we looked, but then we couldn't wait to the second half to start, and everybody was on the edge of their seat, you know, smiles across the board. So, just, you know, great group to coach, like always. And, you know what you get when you're in the high school ranks. You get the good, the bad.
You're
going to
get the 9-point halves and the 40-point halves. That's exactly what you're going to get sometimes. Cesar, like, is there a certain play in the game that you can remember that turned the tide? Maybe when your teammates got a, you know, a steal in a bucket, or you got a rebound or an assist here. Like, is there one play that sticks out to you?
I say one player that actually brought a lot of energy. He's really our, like, our player that brings a lot of energy in general. And then Pamir.
I heard of him.
You're familiar with him.
Yeah.
I say he came out of half, you know, firing. He just came out hot. And I think other than, like, the pressure, like what Coach was saying, I think that's what really had us going as well, just seeing the ball go through the hoop just a lot more times than it did in the first half. I think that was just, you know, got us going as well. So.
And when Pamir is hot, when he feels it, he can get it going. So, Coach, who are some other guys on the team? You can talk about Pamir a little bit, like some other dudes on the team that they're getting some good playing time, doing good things for you.
Absolutely. We have four guys that are averaging in double figures, you know, led by our junior Keon Hill. He's returning leading scorer from last year. He's back. He's a junior. He's averaging 15 a game. We have R.J. Franklin, who's been a stud for us all summer, all preseason. You know our captain. He's injured now. He's missed the last five games and he's going to be out for some time. But prior to him going down, he was averaging 12 and a half a game. Then we have Caesar and Pamir both scoring about 11 a game. So we got, you know, we spread the wealth. We have some youngsters that have made some splashes. Josiah Williams, he's a 6'3 sophomore. He's had a 15-point game. We got Evan Valentine. He's a 6'4 sophomore. You know, big teddy bear. He had a double-digit game once. We have Ashton Cadenhead, a guy we brought up from JV. He's had a 13-point game and a big win for us. So we definitely spread the wealth. All these guys, they get their reps in. And from time to time, you know, you never know who's going to step up.
So talk about the guy to your left. So you mentioned off-air, too. Right, and I got to watch him play the Edison game. 4.0 guy, right? Just one of those kids that you want on your team, right? A glue guy, does a little bit of everything. Talk about what he brings to the program, Coach.
He brings leadership. He brings professionalism. That's not a word you use a lot on the high school ranks, but we talked about it last night after the game. Just thanking him for the professionalism in which he does things, not just on the court, but obviously in the classroom. A 4.0 student, not just this semester, but for his entire career. He's a four-year varsity guy. He's had to sit behind some guys. Each year, somebody comes in out the woodworks, whether it's a ZJ Cotton a couple years ago, or Jalen Walton who transfers in, or a Marlon Haggard who transfers in out of Clovis West, or Pamir Olivier who comes in out of eighth grade of Wani, just taking things by storm, or Darion King who came in and now he transferred out. But this kid Caesar has he stood tall, weathered every storm. He's a kid that you never have to worry about getting a bad email from a teacher on those sort of things. They matter. Consummate professional, even at the young age of 17. You know, he's been doing it since he was in high school, 14, 15, 16. And to just have – and we told him, you know, you can make mistakes. You can be a little goofball and stub your toe like most high school kids do, but he just chooses not to. So just commend him and his mom and his parents for raising the type of kid that he is, and gonna miss him. You know, he's definitely one of the ones, kind of like we had with J-Rod last year. We had him on, one of those leaders, you know, not blessed with the 6'3 height, doesn't jump out the gym, but squeezes every bit of talent that he has in him. He gets it all out and leaves it all out on the table in the classroom and on the court. So we're lucky to have him.
Cesar, who's your favorite basketball player? Who do you enjoy watching, or your favorite team? You got
now,
somebody?
I'd probably say I like Devin Booker's game.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you like about his game?
It's just, I don't know, everything about it is just so, like, fluid. You know, he can make the contested, like, middies and all that. You know, he's a three-level scorer. And he can defend too. I feel like it's not really out there. You know, a lot of people don't like him, to be honest. They say he's a crybaby or whatnot. But I like his game a lot just because I feel like he always goes regardless. So
I agree. I like Booker. He could score any level. You're exactly right. You take the midi, turn around, hit the three, take you to the hole. Underrated, you know, athleticism as well. Defensively, he's okay. He's okay. Crybaby, yeah, he'll cry a little bit too much for my taste. But, that dude can score. So I agree on that. All right, so what do you love about playing for Hoover basketball? Like, right? Right, like going in the layup line before a game, like does that get your juices flowing? Like when the tip off happens, or you know when you're dog tired, you know what do you love about basketball?
Yeah, for sure. It's not just like about basketball. It's more like the program. You know, it's like a great program. Other than that, like my brothers as well. Like we all cool. You know, like we all bring each other up. You know, nobody ever really brings each other down. You know, even if it's like somebody messes up. Like, we make each other feel comfortable for it because at the end of the day, we know it's like a lesson. It's just an opportunity to learn.
That sounds like a leader right there, Coach. Sounds like he listens to you. Shaking your head, yeah. All right, so you mentioned the different tier, right, with the CMAC this year, who you guys are playing. So you guys got Edison next week and then Sanger got a game against Frontier, Roosevelt. And then look at this, Memorial, Bullard, Sunnyside, yeah. Right? So you play those dudes twice. You haven't got into that part of the schedule yet, but, I mean, do you like it? Like, I mean, you won your league last year. That's why they put you in the top tier, right? So what are your thoughts on this?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we've been here 5 years. We won the league 3 years, you know, four really. You know, one of the years we had to forfeit a couple of games due to some technicalities, but – I felt like we've had a lot of success, you know, in the NYL. We were definitely ready for, you know, another type of challenge. All those teams that we play now, we've played anyways. We put them on the schedule, mm-hmm. you know, every year since I've been here. You know, the unfortunate part about that is we had to schedule them in the preseason in, you know, November, December, when we just clearly weren't ready for that. And we always got a little better as the year, you know, moved along. So to be able to play against the Bullards and the Memorials later in the year when we're clicking and we have our youngsters that have gotten some games under their belt and some chemistry, I can't complain at all. And me being the type of player and competitor I've always been, I always want to play against the best competition. So this is, I mean, a couple years too late, in my opinion. I would have loved to have this when we had A.J. George in there, right? We would have definitely loved to been in the league. But, you know, the rendition that of the team that we have now, they've looked up to those guys, and they've seen the program get built and rebuilt, rather, because Hoover has a long tradition. But they're very familiar with, you know, Ivy Ruff and Swillis and A.J. George and the guys – that were part of those state runs that we made. You know, they come back every summer. They come in the spring. They come back in the winter. They share those stories. So kind of like what Caesar was saying, it's a family atmosphere. And so these guys are the little brothers that feel like they're, you know, standing on the legacy. And now that we're in a position to play against these teams, you know, they're ready to take the challenge head on.
Cesar, we've only got about 3 minutes here. What's the plan for next year? So you got that GPA up, which is awesome. We love to hear that. What's going to college? You got some opportunities. What are you thinking for next year?
Nah, for sure going to college, you know, without a doubt. But just going to work hard, you know, the rest of this year and going forward. I think working hard is just a formula, you know, you should carry it, like, without, like, your whole life, right? Yeah, like I said, just going to keep working hard and just work towards, you know, my goals, Craig.
Life lessons, right? Life lessons that you take with you in high school, take with you in your career, working hard always gets you somewhere for sure. T, I always like to ask you about some of the stuff from the past, man. Your times at Hoover, your times at Pepperdine. We like to go in the Wayback Machine sometimes. I don't know if – I asked you about your time at Pepperdine, Hoover. Like, what is – I don't know if I've asked you this yet. What's, like, the best pickup game you've ever played in, right? Because you hear about these guys, right? You find yourself in a pickup game, the YMCA or an outside court, just kind of a legendary pickup game? Does one pop in your mind right now?
Man, great question. You know, I grew up playing in the pickup games. That's what we lived for. You know, even out here starting locally, playing at Frank H. and, you know, all the different parks, Kenny Travis and Jarvis Cole, Carl Ray Harris. You know, we can name the legends, Charlie Ross. That started for me young here, but then, you know, traveling and going out to Pepperdine out in Southern California, the pickup games at UCLA in the old men's gym, they still have them now. I mean, I've matched up with Baron Davis, Sam Cassell, been out there on the court with Magic Johnson, Kenny Anderson. I'll say, and I tell everybody, my toughest guard to my toughest assignment, I couldn't do anything with him, was Sam Cassell. He came in the gym, it was Sam Cassell, Katino Mobley, Chauncey Billups, and they had a big. That was their four. And I got stuck with Sam Cassell. And I'm quicker than him, you know, and I'm in college, I'm pretty quick, but, you know, he's 6'3", that Baltimore game, he got to his spots, took me to exactly where he wanted to, and torched me. But, you know, I'm such a student of the game that I respect it, and, you know, I tell everybody that story. So those are some of the guys that we played with. Paul Pierce would show up. I mean, the list goes on and on. John Williams from Crenshaw. So I can't just say one. That was just what we did in the summer.
Man, all right. You've seen a lot of basketball over the years. Tazell Archie, thanks for coming on. I wish we had more time, man. Those stories, I love those stories. You bust them out playing against Steve Nash and all that stuff. Great stuff as always. Thanks for coming on. Cesar Juarez, thanks for coming on as well. It's a pleasure to get to know you. Good luck to the rest of the way. Thanks for coming on, guys.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
You bet. All right, really quick before we sign off here, we mentioned McKay Madsen playing in that Navy All-American game. He was going to make his college choice. I said the smart money was on Oregon, but I said BYU could creep in. They could be a sleeper, and sure enough, on national TV, he chose BYU. So McKay Madsen going to BYU to play football is a four-star guy, so congratulations to him. That's going to be a great program for him. That's one of those programs I could see them in the playoffs in the next couple of years. So congrats to him and his family as well. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, First String Sports, Jorge Rodriguez for producing the show, John Jones from Clovis North, Gabe Camarillo, and Tazell Archie, and Cesar Juarez from Hoover. Thank you guys for listening. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
At Citizens Business Bank, we've been taking a personal approach to banking for over 40 years and are consistently recognized as one of the top performing banks in the nation. Hi, I'm Susan Woosner, Senior Vice President and Manager of Citizens Business Bank in Fresno. We believe